if you want to practice in its true sense, so that you may not regret what you have been doing, it is necessary for you to have good confidence in your practice. This is very important. Or else it is not possible for practice true way. There may be many great teachers in various countries, but even though they are great teachers, if your way-seeking mind is not strong enough, you cannot study, even though you meet him. You don't know who he is. Tonight, I want to introduce the story between Bodhidharma and Buddha in China. Bodhidharma went to arrive at China 520. According to traditional record. And he met with the king of the Liang. And he, the king, was a great supporter of Buddhism. He built many temples and he studied himself, by himself. No, he studied Buddhism under great teacher, Buddhist. He himself was already a good scholar and at the same time a great scholar, supporter of the Buddhism. As soon as Bodhidharma arrived at China, he did that, that king. And this is the very famous story, perhaps you may know. King asked him, what is Buddhism? Bodhidharma, like a clear sky. and there's no sense. It means that also no sage or no common people. That's what she said. And so Buddha asked him again. You say there is no sage or no common people. Then who is you who sitting in front of me? Who is you? He asked. And his answer was, I don't know. That was Bodhidharma's answer. This is very famous question and answer between Bodhidharma and the king. Last night, I told you something about usual understanding of our life and Buddhist understanding of life. And Oriental, way of thinking in comparison to your way of thinking. The difference, although the king knew Buddhism very well, but his understanding, his way of thinking, his way of supporting Buddhism was something like materialistic. He supported many priests, and he himself studied Buddhism and built a temple and set up, helped setting up various ceremonies. And in Japan and in China, still we are observing the ceremony he set up, he helped setting up the way of observing ceremony. So apparently he is a great supporter of Buddhism. But the way he supports is in one word, materialistic. Which is based on accumulating the merit, accumulating visual, materialistic practice and observation of ceremony, and more intellectual understanding of Buddhism, philosophical understanding of Buddhism. That's what is there. So, in short, many goes first. Accumulation of many goes first. While Bodhidharma's way starts from nothing, starts from one. One is everything. Everything is one. That is what we always say. Form is emptiness, and emptiness is form. But for us, emptiness comes first. So one comes first. and many come, make one and many. The king, the king's way, the king's way is many comes first. Many is more materialistic, more substantial, many. And accumulation of many is eventually become great. That is more or less his way. But through it, you know, knowing Bodhidharma's way, the king's way, Bodhidharma's way, no merit. No. No state, no capacity. Of course, this before he must, they must have talked more about it, according to the record. He told Bodhidharma about what he did and what will be the merit of building temple, helping students, teachers, what will be the merit. Bodhidharma said, no merit. No merit comes first. Why? King's way is many merit comes first. In short, emptiness comes first. One big, great, empty being comes first. It's opening. But if you understand, if the king understands what Bodhidharma says, then his merit will make sense. But he couldn't understand what he said, no merit, or no taste, or no common people. He couldn't understand. Why it is so important for us to understand what Bodhidharma says is, as long as your practice is in the realm of duality, or accumulation of many, like I have been practicing Dhyan for 3 years, 4 years, 10 years, you know. How many years, you see, comes fast, it doesn't make sense. And you will be regret later. I have been practicing Dhyan so many years, this is fast. Nothing happens. That will be, you know, how you feel after accumulating your practice, its merit of practice. And actually, it is just, you know, from a great Buddhist viewpoint, it is just the aspect of that, even though you say, whole life I have been practicing dragon, but whole life is just a speck of, you know, just a one moment. So when you are, maybe when you become old, or when you are dying, you know, your one dies. You are 60 or 70 or 100 years of life is just one moment. So, accumulation of many doesn't make sense. When every day practice, only when every day practice makes sense. You will not regret of your practice later. This is very important point. Why it is so is it may be difficult for you to accept it, but anyway, I have to explain. If every day of your many days practice, it's directly related to the something empty which exists forever, then everyday practice makes sense. I'm not talking about something very unusual. I know some of our students practice very hard. Sacrificing without doing something physical. He stays here without helping his mother or his father. Because he thinks it is necessary for him to stay here and practice our way. So naturally, his practice will be very sincere. But if his practice is based on the idea of accumulation of many days of practice, or accumulation of merit, it doesn't make sense. And some of you may think, I want to practice, true practice, and I want to see some great picture. I'll practice with you. But, you know, it is difficult for you to know who is a great picture and who is not. Unless you have eyes to see, eyes to tell who is great and who is not. Maybe you feel, I know, if I see him, I may know who is great and who is not. But I wonder. Why do I wonder? Because of his eyes, his way of thinking. His eyes is not clear. His way of understanding is not clear. For him, you know, if someone looks like a great teacher, he is a great teacher. But if you have eyes to see, even a common teacher who doesn't know not much about Buddhism could be a great teacher. And actually, there is that kind of really good teacher. But you cannot see them, how good they are. So as long as you have eyes to see, it is impossible to have good practice. And it is impossible to have a kind of life. You will not regret later about what you have been doing. Why do I give lecture every night like this to help you to have good eyes and good understanding and good confidence in your eyes yourself? What is Buddha? What is God? What is Buddhism? If Buddhism is something written up in a book like this, Buddhism is always waiting for you. But actually, it is not so. The most important point is to have good confidence in your eyes, Dhamma eyes. When you trust your eyes, understanding of Buddhism, then that will eventually bring you good practice, good confidence in you. And you, more and more, your Dhamma eye will be open. The Dhamma eye is not something which someone will give you. You yourself should open your Dhamma eye. Actually, I am talking about how to open your Dhamma eyes. And how you can practice your way in each everything, wherever you go. That is what I am trying to I always tell you that intellectual understanding doesn't help so much. Intellectual understanding of real and real practice. The difference between them is very great. Intellectual understanding cannot be actual enlightenment. But we can open our Dhamma even though it is impossible to attain enlightenment by some other step. Unless you yourself attain enlightenment, no one can. Maybe can help you, but no one can give you real attainment. So you yourself should attain enlightenment. But if you want to attain enlightenment, you must have right practice, and you must have right Dhamma. That is why I am continuing this kind of lecture. It is Bodhidharma Day. I think I must explain some more about this question and answer between Bodhidharma and Prakriti. As I said, Bodhidharma, the king asks him, what is the first principle? Bodhidharma says, in the realm of clear, it doesn't say Dhamma word, but in the realm of clear Dhamma word, there's no sage or no common people. That is Bodhidharma's answer. And the king asks him again, who is you in front of me? And Bodhidharma said, I don't know. So, but the king couldn't understand what he meant by no sage, no common people, I don't know who I am. He couldn't understand. So, Bodhidharma crossed the Yangtze River and went to northern country. And he stayed Shaolin Mountain, Suzhan, Shaolin Mountain in Suzhan, and practiced hard for 9 years facing to the war. かってるやつだ。そうっくりした。The vast Brahma world of no sage or no common people is the world of empty, the world of first principle, that is first principle, that is answer. No sage, no mountain, no river, nothing exists, all those things exist.But nothing exists. It is the actual, the reality of the world, of Dhamma world. It looks like the mountains and rivers, and animals and human beings and everything. It looks like so, but actually,It looks like so, but nothing exists in its true sense, because, as I explained intellectually, everything is changing. Tentatively, I exist here. But, they say, everything is changing.6 million, more than 6 million Buddhist teachers, 6 million, and 9 million, or 6 million, 960,000.I was already lost. And 980 times in one day, in change, 4 times, spiritual state. So if we change 4 times in just in one day, we cannot exist.In the same way, in hardly at all, in the same way. But anyway, it looks like I am here. But in its strict sense, it is changing rapidly, like electric-like ball, innate electric current going.Back and forth, back then. I don't know how many times, you know, it goes. It looks like one plane, but it is not so, actually. And same is true with us. So, it looks like they are the same and they are common people. Nothing there, nothing at all. But something is changing with us.Change is exist. Things is exist. Change is exist. Change exists, that's it. Nothing exists. Things we can think is not existent. That is what we say. It looks like I'm here and you are there. You are king and I am a priest or monk.The matter, but it is not actually so. You are very proud of your merit of building temples and observing the ceremonies and practicing dhyana. It looks like so, but actually what have you been doing? No sage, no king, or no priest.That was what he said. It is so. But that is not all. Even so, even it is so. As we discussed last night, even if it starts, if you do not, as long as you are here, if you do not get up, for that then you don't feel good. No, there is no practice, or no tapaha, or no monk. Whatever you do, it is nothing but pain. It is only understanding that actually, what we feel is different. How we can change our feeling from this kind of confusion, or suffering to joy or practice is the point. So our purpose of practice actually to change this kind of ignorance to the wisdom, to be enlightened by those ignorance. Purpose of practice. Unless you lead Bodhidharma already, lead this time, so this is better. But if I say so, I can be crazy, I cannot say so, I cannot open such a big mouth. I can explain it, but I myself do not feel in that way. But I am very much encouraged about this kind of understanding, where thinking and where practice. That is for us. I'm continuing this kind of practice. When you open this kind of Dhamma, then wherever you go, you will see your teacher. You will have eyes to see your teacher. And even though you find out your teacher, you will not stick to the teacher. You will not rely on your teacher completely. And you continue your own practice by aid of the teacher. Then, perhaps, you will find out through teacher. There is some possibility for you to find the teacher. If you think there must be some good teacher, something. That is the idea of already, idea of existence, which is not Buddhist thinking. No teacher, no true teacher exists. As long as your Dhamma is, stick to the idea of existence. And there's two heresies, two misunderstandings. One is idea of non-existence, and the other is idea of existence. If you say, I exist, that is idea of existence. And if you say, I don't exist, actually, because things are changing, that is also heresy. That is idea of non-existence. So what is real understanding is the understanding which goes beyond existence and non-existence. That is real understanding. So real understanding is, you know, if you ask what is real understanding, I know so existence, idea of existence. And sometimes someone asks me again, what is, you know, what is Buddhist view of life? And I say, non-existent. My answer could be sometimes existent and sometimes non-existent. And there's no contradiction. Even intellectually, if you understand what is life. Idea of existence and idea of non-existence. Joken and Danken. Dan Joanamiken, Joanamitoske Joken. That is aware of Danken. We don't stick to idea of existence or idea of non-existence. Our mind is very clear. No life. Christ is idea of existence. Our mind of existence is Christ. No Christ whatsoever. It is like a clear that is really aware of understanding. Already repeated at this point over and over again. Idea of contradiction. The reality is always in contradiction. You can fully participate in this kind of discussion. How I trying to encourage you is, you know, to encourage you to have confidence in your practice. Every night you stand up and you repeat Sanjaga. None to advocate not. The show を傍客して、他国の人生に暮らす。How can I give up my practice and wandering about? That is, you know, how I encourage you. It does not mean you should stay here, but wherever you go, you must have full faith in your practice. because if you cannot practice right now here, there is no time for you to practice through way. If you think, if I go somewhere, then there will be some good teacher. That is already, I'm afraid. I'm afraid you are thinking. Way of thinking is idea, involved in idea existence, which is not, which is one-sided view, which is not true. Why good teacher? That is how I encourage you. It does not mean you should stay here. But wherever you go, you must have full faith in your practice. Because if you cannot practice right now here, there is no time for you to practice through way. If you think, if I go somewhere, then there will be some good teacher. That is already, I'm afraid you are thinking. Way of thinking is idea, involved in idea existence, which is not, which is one-sided view, which is not true. Why would you say excuse me, I'm very...
When the student is ready to be taught, will the teacher appear, or must the student go and seek a teacher?
Student?
When the student is ready, the teacher...
I understand. No. When, you say, when student is ready, when it means that when your practice is, when you are ready, you can tell whether your teacher is right teacher or not, because of your Dhamma. If he is involved in one-sided view of existence or non-existence, he is not like teacher. And another point is whether what he says and what he actually does, to some extent, it should be well balanced, not completely. It is impossible to have complete balance as we are human beings. But to some extent, there must be some balance. That is another point. It is, from Dhamma. Dhamma can tell whether his understanding is right or wrong. And another point is whether his practice is very good or bad. You can see. Easily can see. What he says and there must be some parents. Understandable parents. So, you cannot tell by book he is lost. You cannot tell by his speech. You cannot tell just by his dozen practice. The point is whether his dozen practice is extended in his everyday life. That is very important. So, your Dhamma is like your eyes to see which way to go, which teacher you should choose. And your practice, understanding of practice, is another thing, something like your food. You should walk by your foot. So it is necessary to point this and this. Actual, not just eyes or knowledge or intellectual understanding or philosophy. Even though he knows he has deep knowledge about Buddhism, he cannot be always good teacher for you. If you want to be the same kind of teacher, it is okay. But if you are if you want to practice well as a part of your life, then you cannot follow that kind of thing. Okay. Doing and knowing should be the same, but different. Not to be the same. Knowing is something different than doing. That is very, very much so. Very much so, but even though many people, many Buddhist teachers are like that, but there is no reason why you should follow the example. You cannot criticize them as they are also. They have come by faith, because it is difficult to be free from its own karmic life. It is difficult. So you cannot criticize. But you should know that it can like that. That is its practice and that is its understanding. That is Dhamma. If you have that kind of eye, then your teacher your teacher cannot could be. Anyway. But you will, the point is, you will receive a little encouragement. If his power process is not so strong, then he will, you know, still not hurt you so much. But he is a good teacher, even though he has not much encouragement for you. But if you, if your situation of practicing then is very immediate, difficult situation, then that difficulty will help your practice. Yeah. That difficulty encourage your practice. Difficulty exists when, you know, when you want to do one instance, Sodan Dai, who is one of the maybe greatest scholars in Chinese Buddhist history. His mother was, his family, his parents were very poor. And he had his elder brother, but he was not so good. So his mother couldn't depend on him so much. So it was he who could help his mother. But Sodan